Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, a dollop of ketchup, a light spread of mayo, a drizzle of hot sauce. Condiments really are a firm feature in our kitchens, but perhaps not something we think too much about. My next guest has become the internet's most loved condiment expert, a passion project turned into hundreds of thousands of followers on TikTok, and now a brand new book. I have it here in front of me. It's called The Condiment Book, and its author, Claire Denoot, better known as Condiment Claire, is here in the studio. What a treat to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for saying my last name properly. It's rare.
Did I? Oh, right. Yeah. That is good to know. Yeah. And it's French, actually, isn't it, your last name? And that your heritage is European, but you were brought up in America, is that right?
Exactly.
But every summer spent in France, the love of food and taste and flavour, did it begin there?
It's probably that. My mother's also Greek, so I think just any Mediterranean culture is very, let's just say, food brings people together, and so many memories are built around food. So
it's quite an unusual thing, though, to have a passion for condiments.
Yeah. You know, I never realized condiments were my thing necessarily until I started getting recognized from being on social media, and people would point me out on the street and be like, "You're the condiment girl, you're Condiment Claire." And at the time, my username had nothing to do with condiments. It was Claire from where, it was about traveling and different cultures and places and people. And yet people just recognized the fact that I was, in fact, the condiment girl.
Yeah, but in college, you did carry a bottle of, was it soy sauce in your bag?
I had wasabi Dijon mustard that I would bring to the dining hall with me quite often. So it all checks out now that I'm looking back at just my life. But
mustard is your favorite, is it?
It is, yeah.
Why?
You know, I think there's taste and there's flavor, right? And taste is salty, sweet, bitter, acid, umami. And flavor also is color, texture, smell, but also nostalgia and memory. And I think because I grew up in a French household where Dijon mustard was always on the table, breakfast, lunch, dinner, even if I'm not home, even if I'm not with family, if I'm not in like a nice, cozy environment with friends, if I put a dollop of Dijon on something, it just feels really cozy and homey. And it's the idea again that condiments bring flavor, which is that additional, just nostalgic overall feel, not just the taste of something.
Yeah. When I was looking at your TikTok posts, you did a throwaway line when you were having some cereal about putting salt on cereal, and you say everybody should do it. Now, you can't just throw that away. I need to know more about this. So what is that?
You know, salt is a condiment, and salt is an ingredient as well. And I think when it's used as a condiment, which the word condiment comes from the Latin verb condire, which means to enhance the flavor of something. And when you just add a little salt to something, it can bring out different flavors that you wouldn't have tasted necessarily prior. So for example, I put salt in my matcha every morning because I think it brings out really nice herby notes in there. And I think on cereal, it just gives it that extra something. It gives it, you're able to taste almost more sweetness from the cereal or more sweetness from the milk just because of that contrast. Mm-hmm. And then once you start, you'll never go back. Like, I can assure you that in my bag under this table right now, I have flaky salt.
Flaky, is it flaky sea salt that you carry with you?
It's Hallenmon salt, so it's Anglesey salt.
Right, and that for you is the Holy Grail, is it?
That,
or do you use different salts for different things?
Different salts for different things, but I would say my top two are definitely this Anglesey salt and also Fleur de Sel from L'Île Dorée in France.
Beautiful. So listen, tell me about ketchup, because this is one that we are all familiar with, but you have this great backstory, the history of ketchup, and everything has a history. Everything that we eat has a history, you tell us, including the humble ketchup.
Yeah. No, I mean, the history of ketchup is, we could do an hour long chat about this, but I'll make it quick. It's been around for thousands of years, and it started off actually in China as a fermented fish sauce. So kind of like the fish sauce that we know nowadays, but that's what ketchup, it was called at the time, was. Flash forward a bit, when it comes to England, finally, they start making ketchup, but with mushrooms and walnuts and just a bunch of different things. So again, it was brown.
It's mind-blowing, really, when you think of what we have now and call ketchup.
I know, just bright red and gloopy. And then finally, people start using tomatoes and tomato sauce and calling it tomato ketchup. But a lot of people thought tomatoes were actually poisonous at the time, so people were scared of tomato ketchup at first because a lot of times tomatoes were plated on plates that had lead in it, and the acidity from tomatoes would leach into these plates, and so people would die, and they'd be like, it's the tomato.
It's the lead.
So finally, tomato ketchup started being a thing more and more, and then finally, when it came to the United States, Heinz actually was the first condiment producer to put a condiment in a glass bottle. So when he put this tomato ketchup in a glass bottle on the shelves, people could see what they were buying. They could see that it wasn't rotting inside. They could see that it was bright red, that there was nothing to be scared of. And so from then on,
and there we go,
tomato ketchup.
You've just reminded me now, when you talk about things crossing the Atlantic, of American mustard. And I'm interested to know what you think about American mustard.
You know, I am not a snob when it comes to mustard. I think there's a time and a place for every single mustard, whether it's English mustard on a Sunday roast, which I'm not going to ask for Dijon mustard if I'm having a roast. You know, I think if I'm at a barbecue with hot dogs and burgers, I like a good American yellow mustard.
You're fine with that.
A $1 pretzel on the streets of New York, yellow mustard. It would feel weird to have Dijon with that. But if I had to pick one to have forever, it would be Dijon.
Okay. And now people are thinking as they're listening about condiments, which is great because that's what we want them to
do. Good.
Simon says, is there anything better in life than whole grain mustard mixed with some mayo and a little chili relish on a good quality steak burger between some soft baps? He says it's heaven.
Yum. That sounds great. I think grainy mustard is usually underrated, so I appreciate the respect for grainy mustard because I think it adds that texture, which always amplifies anything. I actually like to put it in my mashed potatoes. So for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, if you ever have
in
mashed potatoes.
In the whole grain, it's lovely. Yeah, really good with that, isn't it? Another listener says, when we got two sausages for breakfast at boarding school, a girl at my table would cut both lengthways and put marmalade on one sausage and sugar on the other. Maybe that was to disguise the flavour of the sausage, because we do that with condiments sometimes, don't we?
Yeah.
Try to disguise the flavour of the food that we're eating.
Well, that's the thing. When you look at the history of condiments, a lot of them were actually born out of necessity rather than just to create flavour, because it was to mask a flavour. So whether it was like a really vinegary chutney for rotting meat, a lot of times, again, you're using condiments to mask flavour. But my whole thing is try and find a way to amplify the flavor, like the salt in the cereal. But I will try that with the marmalade, because I am a big fan of maple syrup on sausages, maple syrup on eggs. In the US, a lot of times you have maple syrup on the table if you're going to like a breakfast diner or anything like that. And I think the sweet and savory is always, it's always a good thing.
Yeah, I think Americans do sort of lean towards the sweet in a lot of their food. Even if you buy butter in the States, it tastes sweet, whereas we veer towards the salty end of things. Do you agree, having experience of both cultures?
Yes, and I'm definitely more of a salty person. Like if I had to pick just either or, which would be horrible, I would pick the saltiness. But when it comes to breakfast, it's true. A lot of times there's sweet involved. But I think because of that, there's so many fun flavors to combine, whether it's putting strawberry jam with eggs, putting, again, maple syrup with a sausage. My favorite way to actually serve maple syrup, whether it's with, again, sausages or pancakes, waffles, any of that, is to add a little bit of soy sauce to the maple syrup. Just like a drop of soy sauce.
Right, you're blowing our minds now. You know, we won't rule out trying anything. Another one, I'm fascinated to hear condiment Claire. In Yucatan, the Mayans always put salt and or chili oranges on oranges to enhance the flavour. Mm-hmm. And that's from Lulu. And that again fits with, you know, trying to find the contrast and trying to heighten the flavour of something.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think with spice, it's fascinating because whether you add a little bit of sweetness to it or saltiness to it, it can actually change the flavor of the pepper completely. So, for example, today I brought candied jalapenos, which I like to give people even who don't like spice.
Yeah, I don't really like spice, but I'm going to try that now because you brought it in.
And yeah.
I wouldn't say no. So pass it over here, Claire. This could go anyway. So is this very spicy, Claire?
No. So, you know, it's actually the way I make them is I put them in a simple syrup, but again, I'll be curious to see if you can notice what it is. But I actually don't make the syrup with water and sugar. I make it with...
kind of gooey.
Mm-hmm.
It's sweet. It's sharp. And there's the spice.
Oh, no, your face.
No, it's lovely. It's very, very spicy, but that's a jalapeno. I'm not a fan of jalapeno. Whoa.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I'm so sorry.
No. It's nice. It's not awfully peppery. You've kind of reduced the amount of pepper that I would normally taste in a jalapeno, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I can taste the sweet a lot too.
Yeah, it's made with apple cider vinegar and sugar actually. So there's also that tang. So whether you're using the syrup for a cocktail or if you're using it for a salad dressing, you don't even need to actually eat the jalapenos themselves. There are so many ways to use this. And again, it's fun with like strawberry jam and avocado toast. It's fun in a salad. It's fun in a wrap. So there are a million ways to eat.
That is really, really nice. I mean, I know I got a little shock when I bit into the jalapeno, but it is delicious. really good. Do you put a lot of waste in your house? Because I find when I'm buying condiments and I'm trying to experiment and try new things, pickles and so on, I end up at the end of a couple of weeks going, oh gosh, that thing at the back of the fridge that I didn't use.
Yeah.
But you're saying that doesn't happen with you.
No, I think another reason why I love condiments is that they're very sustainable, actually, if you look at them. And I try to always buy my condiments in glass jars so I can reuse the jars as well. And a big reason why I started making condiments was, again, my home in France is actually a mill. So we farm and we have a bunch of fruit and we're never going to let any fruit go to waste. We'll always use them and either make jellies or jams or chutneys or whatever it is, just, again, to not have any waste. But when it comes to my fridge and having stuff in the back, I think seeing that almost leftover jar inspires me to create new things, whether it's having like a nearly leftover jar of mustard, for example, or chutney or brown sauce. I'll put eggs in there, shake it up, and then you make scrambled eggs like that, or make a salad dressing with a jam. Or there are just so many ways to experiment with nearly leftover jars as to not let anything go to waste. And I think when you have that condiment where you're like, ugh, I don't know how to use it, then it inspires different dishes or just fun snacks. And you know what? If it works, great. And if it doesn't work, that's okay. At least you tried. And it would have just gone to waste otherwise.
People are now sending in crazy things. Like my husband has sour cream and banana and sugar between two slices of bread. You need to get your husband this book. It's not a cookbook. It's about condiments. It's about flavors. Yeah. It's about finding out what works together and what might not work together in your head, but then when you put it in your mouth, it's fabulous. Yeah. It's called The Condiment Book. It's by Claire Denoot, and you'll find Condiment Claire all over the web, on TikTok. Nearly a million followers on there. It is extraordinary and a great pleasure to meet you, Claire.
Thank you so much, Claire. Thank you for having me.
Other Claire, and I'm still enjoying the jalapeno. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.